verses of Scripture I would like to consider this morning with the Lord's help are verses 45 and 46 of Matthew chapter 13. The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking. The Lord says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Of the many parables told by the Lord Jesus Christ, more than half of them are recorded by Matthew. And the diligent study of the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel will reveal 8 parables. Verses 3-23, we have the parable of the sower. Verses 24-30, you have the parable of the sowers. The one that sowed the good seed and the other that sowed the tares. Verses 31 and 32, the parable of the seed. Verse 33, the parable of the leaven. Verse 44, the hidden treasure. Verses 45 and 46, the seeker of goodly pearls. Verses 47 to 50, the parable of the fishing net. Then verse 52, the parable of the scribe. The parable we wish to consider today, with the Lord's help, is number 6 in this list. The one concerning the merchant man who was out to search for goodly pearls. When he has found pearl of great price, he sells all that he has. And he goes out and buys that one pearl. A difficulty apparently has arisen among Bible commentators and preachers of the Word as to how this particular parable ought to be interpreted. In the majority of cases, the merchant man is understood and preached to be the sinner. He is portrayed as the seeker, going out and seeking Christ or seeking salvation, which they say is portrayed as the pearl of great price. He is said to sell all that he has in order that he might claim Christ or claim salvation or claim the pearl of great price. But I must confess this morning that I do not accept that interpretation at all for a number of reasons. First of all, if the pearl of great price is Christ or is salvation, and the sinner is said to sell all that he might obtain, that I ask the question, what has the sinner got to sell that is of any worth? Nothing. Has the Scriptures not made it abundantly clear that the sinner is poor and wretched and miserable? Is not the sinner bankrupt of all that is good and wholesome and pure? Bankrupt of anything that is of any worth? All that the sinner may lay claim to is a depraved nature, a sinful heart, and a dead soul. And what are they worth as far as the sinner is concerned? So what has he to sell? Nothing but his sin. Also, consider this. If the merchant man is the sinner and the pearl of great price is salvation or even Christ, then since when is a sinner able to buy salvation? Because we're told in this parable that he went out and sold all that he had and went and bought the pearl of great price. And if the pearl of great price is salvation or is Christ, then how can a sinner buy salvation or buy Christ? Christ is not for sale. Salvation is not for sale. How then can a sinner buy something? It's not for sale. Isaiah 55 and verse 1 tells us that we are to come and buy without money and without price. For salvation is free. It's not to be bought and cannot be bought. So what is the interpretation then of this parable? I believe that when we consider the merchant man, we are considering Christ. Christ is the merchant man. And the pearl of great price is the church. Individual believers that go to make up the church. That's how the parable, I believe, should be interpreted. For here is a picture of Christ himself paying the price of salvation and buying the pearl of great price, even the church, claiming it as his own. With that in mind, let us then first of all consider the person who is seeking. It's not the sinner that's doing the seeking. We learned that last week in the Garden of Eden. After our first parents fell from the state of perfectness into a state of sin, Adam and Eve didn't go seeking God for forgiveness. God went seeking Adam. And here is Christ seeking the sinner. He is the one who was doing the seeking. First of all, concerning this person, let us look at the merchant. Let's take that word merchant. The word merchant means traveler. It was and still is a common thing for a merchant to travel great distances in pursuit of those things that he trades in. These merchants are prepared to sail the seas, journey through many countries in search of their pearl of great price. No merchant man ever traveled the distance that our Savior traveled in search of the pearl of great price. For the Lord Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven, and he went on a journey in search of the pearl of great price. And that journey brought him into the sinful, wicked, and hostile world. And as he went on that journey, he must leave the bosom of his Father, where he was daily his delight. He must set out on that long journey from glory that would eventually lead him to a manger in Bethlehem, and then to a cross at Calvary. And as he traveled from heaven to earth, our divine merchant man must place his feet on that road that would lead him to Calvary, and that was the road of humility. He must travel the road of humility. He had to become man, and being made man, he was made a little lower than the angels, the very angels he created. When he became man, he was made lower than the angels. He who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is the road of humiliation that Christ walked in order that he might seek out and find and purchase the pearl of great price. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 9. Not only did he have to walk the road of humility, he had to walk the road of hostility. In a search for the pearl of great price, he must be prepared to leave the harmony of heaven and come to a hostile world. From that place where he was, the song of angels, in a search for the pearl of great price, he was prepared to come to a world where he became the song of the drunkard. When he left home, all were singing his praises. But when he arrived upon the scene of time, when he arrived upon this earth as God manifest in flesh, they that saw him laughed him to scorn. And their laughter turned to scorn, and their scorn turned to revilings, and their revilings turned to hatred, and their hatred turned to murder. Until upon that day they cried, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" He walked the road of humility and walked the road of hostility. I tell you, no merchant man ever embarked upon such a journey like the Son of Man embarked upon when he undertook to go and search for the pearl of great price. It's the merchant. I look at the man. We're told, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. The Lord didn't say the kingdom of heaven is like unto merchant men. Merchant man, singular. This is a story about one man. One man going in search of the pearl of great price. And isn't it true that every time we open God's holy word, what do we read there? We read the story of one man. That one man is Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, this book is all about that one man. The God-man. Who with his own blood purchased the pearl of great price. And isn't it true every time we preach the gospel and tell the gospel story, it's the story of one man and his love for sinners. And every time a soul cries out, "What must I do to be saved?" in response, we seek to point that sinner to one man, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. So what was done in the purchase of the pearl of great price was the work of one man. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. None other name. One name, one man, one Savior, one Lord, one sacrifice, one way, one life. Yes, Christ is that merchant man, the lone traveler who came in search of the pearl of great price. Listen. Do you hear the words? The Lord saying, who shall I send and who shall go for us? Who shall go for us? Only one person responds. Christ said, here am I. Send me. I will go in search of the pearl of great price. I will go and I will go alone. Whatever it takes, I will do it. Whatever it costs, I will pay it. Whatever the pain, I will bear it. Whatever the shame, I will endure it. And I will do it alone. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone. He alone could open heaven's gate and let the sinner in. For who was it that was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners yet died for sinners? It was Jesus alone. Who was it that suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself? Jesus alone. Who was it who knelt in Gethsemane's garden and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? Jesus alone. Who was it offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death? It was Jesus alone. Who was it that stood in Pilate's judgment hall while soldiers plotted the crown of thorns, the place on his brow? It was Jesus alone. And who was it that Pilate was referring to when he said, behold the man? It was Jesus alone. And who's back? The open end of furrows of blood, it was Jesus alone. From whose face did they pluck off the hair? Jesus alone. And by the time they brought him to Calvary and were about to nail him to the cross, whose visage was marred more than any man's and more than the sons of men? Jesus alone. As three crosses stood on Golgotha's brow, upon whom was laid all the sins of God's elect, Jesus alone. And from whose lips came those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words came from the lips of Jesus. Blessed heavenly merchant man, O holy and heavenly traveler, dear Lord, if thou had not have come and walked the road of humiliation
then the pearl of great price would never have been found. Dear believer, we would never be in heaven, and we would still be in our sin. Is the merchant and the man and the mission. According to the parable, the merchant man was involved in seeking goodly pearls. That was his mission. And then he found the pearl of great price. Once again, how naturally this causes us to look in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the good shepherd who will leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he finds it. He's the seeker. And here he's portrayed as the merchant man, the traveler, who goes out to seek goodly pearls. Then he finds the pearl of great price. When we examine the merchant's man's mission, we cannot help but notice his desire. The Lord tells us that this merchant was only interested in pearls. We're told that, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. It's all he was interested in. He had a desire to lay his hands upon goodly pearls, and then he found the pearl of great price. And here, once again, we see the Lord Jesus. We're reminded of the mission that Christ embarked upon. Because as He embarked upon that mission, He did so with love in His heart and a desire to seek and to find that which was lost. He had a desire to find the pearl. That's what was on his heart. The Apostle Paul reminds us, Christ Jesus came into the world, what to do? To save sinners. It was his desire. To seek and to save sinners. The Lord Jesus himself said, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. It was his desire to give to sinners eternal life. When on his way to the cross, he stood there on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem. He saw the city and he wept over it and cried, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Which killest the prophets and stonest them that were sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered, there's his desire. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. They had no desire for Christ, but Christ had a desire for them. And that desire to rescue the perishing took him all the way to Calvary, where he paid the price. The pearl of great price, where he paid the price for his church. His desire and his diligence, the merchant man went out in search of pearls. We are told that he searched and searched until he found one pearl of great price. If the merchant man seeking goodly pearls, so Christ sought us. Lifted pearls from here and there and yonder. But collectively, he found the church as one pearl. His diligence, he sought and sought until he found. Notice something there. Verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. search was over. As far as the merchantman was concerned, his work was done. There was no need to go on searching. His work was finished. He found the pearl of great price. And it is not what we are depending on today. The finished work of Christ. Isn't that what bought us at Calvary? Why, the finished work of Christ. When the work was done by Christ, there was nothing more to do. There was nothing to be added to it. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I want you to notice something else, not only the person who was seeking, but the price that was surrendered. We're told that when the merchantman found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here we see, first of all, this merchantman and his wisdom. How did the merchant man know the value of that pearl? I would say if you and I looked at a pearl, a genuine pearl, and looked at one that had been manufactured out of plastic, we could hardly tell the difference. Or if we looked at a real pearl, we wouldn't know the value. We'd know it was a good pearl or a bad pearl or an average pearl. We may look at a painting by a great artist and have absolutely no idea of the value of that painting or some other work of art. We would need someone with a trained eye and who was skilled in knowing the value of works of art. This merchant man knew the value of this pearl. That's why we're told he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Because he knew the value of it. Dear believer today, who can estimate? Who can put a value on a man's soul? Any one of us here? I don't believe one of us can truly evaluate a man's soul. What's it worth? What is the worth of one great pearl, even the church of Jesus Christ? What's it worth? What value did we put on our own souls when we were out in the world, living a reckless, sinful life, gambling with death and with eternity every minute of the day? It's only the grace of God that kept us out of eternity. But we were gambling with our souls and gambling with death and gambling with eternity because we had no idea of the value of our soul. We need the Lord to tell us something about the value of a man's soul. For what shall it profit a man, Christ said, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So we're told something there, that a man's soul is worth more. Worth more. One soul is worth more than all the riches of this world. But even that doesn't tell all the story. Still cannot comprehend the value of a soul. That is why we often sing, as we did this morning, those words with deep prayerfulness, "So teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one the man of sorrows condemned to bleed and die, O teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. And teach me, O my Savior, teach me the value of a soul. There's only one way we can estimate the value of a man's soul, and that is in the light of Calvary. That's what a soul is worth. Jesus Christ would give His blood, give His life to save one soul, to save His church. His way. When the merchant man found the pearl of great price, the Lord tells us that he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He went. Where did he go to? He obviously went somewhere where he could sell all his possessions, but we're not told where. And oh, when we look at our heavenly merchant man, when we look at our holy traveler, even the Lord Jesus Christ, we know where He went to sell all that He had in order that He might purchase His church the pearl of great price. Mark the words. Mark the words. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. Everything. He surrendered everything. He gave up everything that he might buy the pearl of. Merchant man, no doubt, was a very rich man. That's what he traded it. He dealt in pearls. But here we're told that he sold all, he gave up everything for one pearl. From being a very rich man, he suddenly became a very poor man, in order that he might lay his hands upon that one pearl. Here is Christ, he who was rich, became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And he became poor. The merchant man became poor for the sake of the pearl. Christ became poor for our sakes. Where did he give up everything? That place called Calvary. Because there he gave all that he had. Gave his life. When he shed his blood. Because when you give your life, you have nothing more to give. Christ gave it all. Note his willingness. You see from the words of the parable that when the merchant man found the pearl of great price, he parted with all his good. It's very evident from the words of the Savior that he parted with them willingly. Once he made this discovery, found the pearl of great price, it says he went, sold all that he had. He did it with great willingness. I must have this pearl. I'll sell everything I have, and I'll do it willingly, that I might have this.
Oh, how willing the Savior was to part with all that he had in order that he might make the pearl of great price his very own. Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man came not to minister to, but to minister and to give. There's his willingness. To give his life a ransom for many. And again he said, I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. But I lay it down of my self. There's his willingness. He willingly gave his back to the scourging whip. He willingly gave his head, his brow, to the crown of thorns. He willingly gave his hands and his feet to those nails. He willingly gave his side to the sword. He willingly gave his life. He willingly gave his all. He willingly shed his blood that he might purchase you and me and make us. Then we have the prize that was secured. After the merchantman had sold all, we're told that he bought it. Almost, the story some sort of comes to an abrupt end. You might expect the Lord to go on and tell us something more, but it just simply says that he sold all. Bought it. End of story. Here we see that he claimed the pearl. For when he paid the price, he bought it, the pearl was his. It's interesting when we look at that word bought. Find it translated another way three times in the book of the Revelation. If you turn, please, to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Verse 9. They sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us or bought us. The word bought in our text is the word redeemed here in Revelation 5 and 9. Redeemed us to God by thy blood. It's also found in Revelation 14. Verses 3 and 4, then they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed or bought. And again, verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth, these were redeemed. So when the merchant man bought the pearl, he claimed it to his own. Jesus Christ paid the price, shed his blood, laid down his life. He claimed us as his own. He redeemed us. Does the word redeem mean? The word redeem means to be bought out of the slave market. To be bought out of the slave market. Jesus Christ bought us with his own blood. He paid the price. He redeemed us out of the slave market of sin.
when he did so, he claimed us as his own. I noticed something else. We said that this story came to a very abrupt end. Well, I believe there's a reason for that. Of course there is. But we see here, not only did he claim the pearl, but the merchant man was content with the pearl. What the merchant men usually do, they'll purchase an item at such and such a price, and then they'll take that item to another sale somewhere and they'll sell it again, try and make some profit on it. That's their business. That's what they're about. This story doesn't tell us anything about this merchant man buying and selling the pearl of great price. When he bought it, he kept it. Christ bought your soul. He bought your soul with the intention of keeping it. And praise God, he has kept us ever since. He'll go on keeping us. He'll keep us, church. Every one of us will be in heaven. Every one of God's people will be there. There'll not be an empty chair in heaven. Because the merchant man has bought us, redeemed us with his own blood, and has kept us. We are not for sale. Oh yes, the devil would like to buy us back. But our man will tell him on our behalf, hallelujah. The Lord will keep us. We are His possession. I am my beloved, and He is mine. I have no doubt that when the merchant man purchased the pearl, claimed the pearl, and was content with the pearl, he cared for it. Wherever he brought it, I'm sure he brought it home. He must have brought it home with him. He didn't just stand there in the spot where he had bought it. And the Lord Jesus will bring every one of his pearls home. For I read again in the book of the Revelation, this time chapter 21, there we have a picture of the church that describes for us as the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. See, there are pearls in heaven. And there's going to be more pearls in heaven. Because the merchant man will bring every one of his pearls home with him. For he has said, there I am, where I am, there ye may be also. Believer, he's bringing us home with us, with him. God is at such a great price. Till the river rolls its waters at our feet. And then he'll bear us safely over to our lovers there to meet. But with Fanny J. Crosby, we can say, I long to meet the Savior. First of all, the merchant man came down that long, long ladder of humiliation into this world. Went in search of the pearl of price, and when he found it, paid the price, even his own blood, claimed it as his own. How glad we are today that we're owned by Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we bless Thee for the one who is our merchant man, the one who came into this world and He came alone. And how often He dwelt alone, sleeping under the open canopy of heaven. How often He prayed alone and walked alone. And at Calvary He suffered alone and bled alone and died alone. O Lord, we will never be able to thank Thee the way we ought for all that Thou hast done for us. Lord, as we come now to Thy table, lead us there Thyself. Even, Lord, as Thou dost desire to eat the Passover with Thy disciples, we know the desire is still there to sit with us today. Lord, we desire to sit with Thee. Come, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and sit with us now. As we remember Thee, in our Savior's name we pray. Amen.